Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Solomon Wilcott joining us from Pro Football Focus this morning to take a look back on Super Bowl 54. Solomon, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. And nice to know you made it back from Miami in one piece.
Yeah, I mean, it was touch and go there for a few days, but I was able to keep it all together at least a little bit. I want to ask you about the way Kyle Shanahan handled the end of that game with a lead. Did you agree with him putting the ball in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo instead of running the football?
Well, I thought that they needed to make plays. First of all, let's go to the beginning of the game. I thought he did a great job. Remember, the run game was going through Debo Samuel. No one expected that. Debo Samuel is a former running back in college. He converted to wide receiver later in his career, and he was just carving up that Chiefs defense in the early going. And the passing game was going through, guess what, Kyle Juszczyk, who had scored two touchdowns in the game. Later in the game, they attempted to get the ball into Kittle. Kittle was working the coverage. He was open. And how about this? Garoppolo couldn't get it to him. The ball gets batted down twice when they were targeting Kittle, and he was open on both occasions. So I'm not nearly as hard on Kyle Shanahan as most people are. I thought Kyle had a tremendous game plan that was working. Failure to execute by the quarterback, though, is a different story.
What about the numbers behind Shanahan not pushing it at the end of the second quarter and basically playing for the tie at halftime? Do the numbers support his decision to do that?
No. That's where if the criticism is fair, I think that timeout should have been called. I think trying to get more points on the board before halftime and not being aggressive in that situation, knowing you're going to get the ball back in the second half, I can't tell you how the data support trying to score and get points there and then scoring on that first possession in the second half, an opportunity to blow the game wide open. Certainly a missed opportunity to be more aggressive.
Solomon Wilcott joins us this morning on the show. On the flip side, we saw the Chiefs offense come alive and Patrick Mahomes come alive when it mattered most in the final 7 minutes of that game. Defensively, were the Niners doing something differently? Did the pass rush wear down? Why was Mahomes so much more effective then?
Great question, and you're right. Pass rush did wear down. Coming into the game, the 49ers had the third-best pass rushing unit, second-best coverage unit. Those dynamics, those metrics tend to lead to what we call a championship defense. But in this game, the quarterback and the talent of Mahomes won out, and they kind of stumbled into it because of the score being down by 10 and with maybe 8.5 to go. They went up tempo. By going up tempo and the offense not really aiding the 49ers defense by going 3-and-out, not converting after that second interception by Mahomes, the defense was exposed. The defense for the Niners played 75 snaps in the game. Roughly 38% of their snaps came in the fourth quarter. 29 out of 75 snaps were in the fourth quarter by the 49ers defense. So when the Chiefs went up tempo and started to roll out Mahomes a little bit, that the pass rush for the Niners was gassed. And then they connected on the third and 15. That converted into a touchdown to Kelce. And then they tried to blitz Mahomes, leaving Richard Sherman one-on-one with Watkins. They converted that and then turned it into another touchdown. From that point on, the defense was gassed. They were playing on their heels. And Mahomes had his way, scoring on three consecutive possessions as that pass rush, they simply ran out of gas, D.A.
Beyond the numbers, a feel question for you, because you've been around this game for a long time. You played this game. Did Jimmy Garoppolo's night on Sunday make you a little less confident that he can be the man to lead a team to a Super Bowl in the future?
You know, I came into the game saying, geez, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is 28. Mahomes, 24. Guess who had the most experience playing in two short years?
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes. He played in more games than Garoppolo has since Garoppolo entered the league. Spent a lot of time. So he was less experienced. I think the contract is what it is. You kind of have to live with him. So I'm going to try to work with Garoppolo. I believe he can be the guy because I saw it at times. I did have a question mark. Could he do it on the big stage in the Super Bowl? But, hey, even Mahomes was rattled early on, wasn't he? That tells you how big of a game this is for people who play that quarterback position. I saw Big Ben a little bit rattled early in his career on the big stage. I saw Elway not play very well in early Super Bowls early in his career. He was a young quarterback. So can Garoppolo come out of it and win one later? Absolutely. I think the Niners have to diagnose that he tends to lock in on coverage a little bit too much with his eyes, allowing defensive linemen to bat down balls. He's got to do a better job of anticipating where to go and when to go. And then he's got to learn to dial in. And when you got Emmanuel Sanders open late in the game, you got to hit. I mean, it's as simple as that. He was nearly intercepted on the play before, was given a second chance to connect, and could not deliver. Games and championships and legends are won on making those kinds of plays at quarterback.
Mm, well said. Solomon Wilcots from Pro Football Focus joins us this morning here on the show. Last week on Radio Row, we had Carson Palmer on the show, and he cautioned Joe Burrow about the Bengals' quote-unquote winning culture. He said, I thought I could go there and change it, but when I was in Cincinnati, I did not feel as though the Bengals were committed to winning a Super Bowl. You also played in Cincinnati. Do you think that Joe Burrow needs to be warned about playing in Cincinnati and thinking that there is going to be a winning culture to support him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know what? I also covered Carson Palmer, and being a California guy myself, I mean, I was 100% behind Carson. I watched as it sucked the life out of him. I watched fans in Cincinnati dump garbage on his home, on his lawn. I watched how others abdicated and tried to force the leadership onto him when he wasn't given support to corral some of the wild-natured individuals that surrounded him. Now, blowing out his knee early in a game, that was just buzzing to luck, right? But Carson Palmer was a guy who was strong-willed, talented, and needed more around him. He needed more support around him. And when he went in to talk to him and it didn't change, he walked away from the game because the love for the game had left him. And that's a shame. And organizations need to be weary of that, that one man in a bad environment cannot turn it around by himself. I could just flat out tell you that. And that's why you got Peyton Manning, and guess what? Archie understood it, and he coached his sons to understand how to at least be able to control the environment around them so that the organization fully supported both Eli and Peyton everywhere they went. And if he wasn't going to get it, then it's time to go. I mean, Archie understood that having played in New Orleans, and Peyton understood it and knew how to do it. He had guys like Tom Moore and Tony Dungy that allowed it to happen, and he brought them a championship. And I think Joe Burrow has to be equally dialed in here in Cincinnati.
That's interesting. So we've only got a couple of seconds left with you, but would you advocate Joe Burrow not going to Cincinnati and forcing his way somewhere else?
No, because you know why? I'm the kind of guy, I remember when I went to the University of Colorado, I thought we could win a championship. And I helped to recruit guys from Los Angeles. Eric Bieniemy was one of those players. John Embry, the tight ends coach for the Chiefs, who coaches George Kittle, was one of those players. I tried to go into Los Angeles, get as many players as we could. We turned around and won a championship in 1990 after I left. If Joe Burrow wants to be special, he's from Ohio. His girlfriend lives right here in Cincinnati. He can get it done. But boy, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to be willing to go through the fire to get that done.
Mm. Win the offseason with PFF. All Edge and Elite subscribers now have access to PFF's 2020 NFL Draft Guide. Yes, the draft is just around the corner. QB Annual and Free Agency Rankings. Subscribe today to gain access. Solomon Wilcots is our friend here on the show. Solomon, I can't thank you enough for all the time you've given us throughout the football season. You joined us so many times and always were so great and generous with your time. So I always love seeing you at the Super Bowl, and thanks so much for joining us throughout this football season. This was awesome.
You're the best, and I look forward to joining you as we approach free agency and the draft. We got some real dynamic data coming out, so I'm sure I'll be back with you soon.
Can't wait, man. Thank you, Solomon.
All right, D.A.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.